Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Vav. We're starting today on Vav, on top of Vav Amid Aleph. We're going to be starting at the two dots, first line. Hatzad Hashav Hashabahem. This is an excellent opportunity to just simply pause for a moment. I know we just started the daf. But pause for a moment and take stock in terms of where we are in the Masechta. We are obviously now almost a week into the Masechta. With the Mishnah that we began just a little less than a week ago. So we were introduced to the concept of avos nezikin. In other words, in terms of nezik, the Torah gives us four categories in which basically any kind of damages is going to be fitting into one of these four categories. And as a result of that, so you're going to be liable to pay for the damages that are done. Okay, that's step number one. Step number two is that in terms of these categories, so there are four categories because. Rashi consistently throughout the entire sugya says because they're in the Torah. In other words, in order for it to be an av, in order for it to be a main category, so there's a pasuk in the Torah that describes it. And as a result of that, it's an av. And so anything that's similar in characteristics, it's now going to fall under that av, and it's called a tolada. Okay? Similar to the concept of Shabbos of avos and tolados. Tum and Tahara, also we have avos and tolados. So in Ezekiel, we also now have avos and tolados as well. The Rapapa asked a question right in the beginning of the sugya on Dav Beis and Dav Gimel, and whether or not of the toldosim is kayotze behem or love kayotze behem. So now when we have a nezek that doesn't exactly fit, that isn't one of the dalat avos, but characteristically fits into one of the dalat avos. So it's a tolada. So now is a tolada going to have the same status as the av, i.e. you're going to be liable, or does it not have the same status as the av? The way Rashi presented the Gemara, so when we say toldosim love kayotze behem, it would mean then that you're not chayiv. Even though you did damage, but it's a talad, it's not enough, you're not going to be chayv. But that's and that Rashi is definitely interesting, and we noted that earlier in the Masechta. But meanwhile, the halach is told the same, kayotze behem. And so therefore you're going to be chayv. The four categories are, we spent a week talking about it. This is just a good moment as we're resetting the Mishnah to just get our bearings. The four categories are shor, borama, vehever. So sure, that's clearly an animal. But as we also learn, there are an animal subdivided into three categories. Okay, there's Karen, there's Shane, and there's Regal. Karen, the animal's going to lower its head and gore. Shane, the animal's going to eat. And Regal, the animal's going to walk. And those are three categories of damages that are done by animals, and they're not all the same. What are the notable differences? So when it comes to Karen, so that's something that's totally unexpected. Animal does not normally gore. It's something that we didn't expect, and therefore, Torah cuts us a break. First time your animal gores, so you're not going to have to pay full damages, but rather, chatzi nezek. And even the chatzi nezek damages that you're going to pay is going to be capped. We'll talk more about that later in the Masechta. When it comes to Shane, the animal eating. There, when it comes to Shane, so there's a patur. And the exemption of Shane is that you're not going to be chayev if it were to eat in a Rishos HaRabim. Regel, so that is the Gemara's description of Hezekel Matsui. That's very common. In other words, the animal walks. And not only does the animal walk, the animal's entitled to walk. Right? The animal has right away, as do you and I have right away in a public domain. And so therefore, when it comes to Regel, so there are damages. If it damages while it pushes its weight on anything, so you're going to be chayev. And again, when it comes to Shane, there's a Petur of Rishos HaRabim. So those are the three, that sure, it really broken down to three. When going back to the Mishnah and saying simple pshat in the Mishnah, so the Mishnah gives four categories, shor, bor, ma, vehever. So what are those four categories? So of those four, two are pretty clear. Two are not so clear. The two that are pretty clear, not pretty clear, but very clear, is bor and hever. So bor is a pit, right? The Torah describes where you dig a pit in a Rishos HaRabim and damage occurs in that pit, you're going to be liable. That's bor. And hever is when you start a fire. So when you start a fire and it goes into somebody else's property, the fire spreads. So you're going to be chayef. Okay, those two are clear. What's shor and what's mave? So that's not so clear. In other words, we have machlokas between Shmuel and Rav in terms of what shor and mave are. According to Rav, so shor is going to be a niske shor. In other words, all the damages that are done by an animal. And as far as mave is concerned, what's mave? So mav is human. In other words, if you and I were to do the damage. That's Rav's interpretation of the Mishnah. Meanwhile, according to Shmuel, no, that's not a taich of the Mishnah. Proper taich of the Mishnah is that the mave. So mave is a reference to the animal, specifically which aspect of the animal? Shein. And as far as shore is concerned, what shore? Shore is regal. What about Karen? Not in our Mishnah. Why is it not in our Mishnah? Because Karen is not muad mitchilaso. Okay. So that's Shmuel's taicha of the Mishnah. Good. So we have basically a disagreement in terms of how to go ahead and define the four categories. When all is said and done, we already made this point before, but let's say it again. When all is said and done, it's not that Rav is disagreeing with Shmuel in terms of whether or not Adam is chayev or not chayev. Of course Adam is going to be chayev. Everyone agrees. It's just a question of how to say pshat in our Mishnah. When our Mishnah introduces us to the Dalet Alfas Nezikin, so what's the pshat? But they are in perfect agreement with one another in terms of the fact that you're going to be chayev. Okay, next. Again, this is just a great moment to just take stock. It's a lot of information that's been thrown at us in the first 5 days of the Masechta. So this is just a quick recap. Next. The Torah has to give us four categories. So that was a big discussion that we had in yesterday's daf. Meaning, can the Torah be a little bit more frugal, a little more conservative, lowercase c, and just give us not four categories, but give us, I don't know, three categories, maybe two categories. And then all the other nezik is going to be deduced and learned from maybe two categories, three categories. When you read the Mishnah, right, that was day one of the Masechta, so the impression that you got is there's no way the Torah could have reduced it to anything lower than four categories. We needed all four categories. Why? Mamash, it's the first Mishnah. Because lo harei ashor kare amave. V'lo harei amave kare ashor. Shor and mave are different than one another. And again, how you can explain that line of the Mishnah depends on how you define mave. But the point of the Mishnah is that I need both. And then the Mishnah went on from there. And the v'lo zevezeh sheish ben ruchayim kare aish ein ben ruchayim. And I can't compare these two to aish. These two, mave and shor, that's ruchayim. They're living entities. By the way, that line obviously works for both Rav and for Shmuel. But in other words, those are living entities. Fire is not a living entity. So and then the mission went on to say, and that none of this is like boar, because when it comes to shore, when it comes to mave, when it comes to aish, so they travel, they move. But when it comes to boar doesn't move. It's stationary. So I needed boar because boar introduces us another aspect of nezek that wasn't contained in the first three. Simple reading of the Mishnah would lead us to the conclusion that I need all four categories. Without all four categories, we wouldn't have been able to deduce one from the other. And then you go back to yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf, admittedly complicated daf, where basically the daf itself wasn't so complicated, but just to say simple pshat in the Gemara. So the Gemara basically said yesterday, I don't know. I really think you could have deduced all the nezakim from not four categories, but really the list could have been trimmed down to two. Okay, that was Rava's chiddush in yesterday's daf, and the truth of the matter is that Rava was a masbir, but Rashi spends a good part of yesterday's daf going through how exactly it can be deduced from two of the four. When all said and done after yesterday's daf, so you go back to our Mishnah now is misleading. Because the truth of the matter is that I really don't need all four, two would be sufficient. So then the Gemara asked yesterday, well, if that's true, and I really don't need all four, so then we can ask now a simple question. So why would the Torah give us four categories if I don't need all four categories? But there the Gemara answered the question yesterday, Lehilcho Sehen. And that is that you need four categories because even though, yes, in terms of Nezek, I could have deduced all four, and not just all four, but the world of Nezek could have been deduced from, let's say, two, like the Gemara said yesterday. However, each one of them has its own set of halachas. And we already went over it, but just in short order. Karen, so Chatzi Nezek in a first-time offense. And I say first-time offense, I really mean first, second, and third-time offense. So Chatzi Nezek. When it comes to Shein V'Regel, a Petur V'Shus Arabim. When it comes to Bor, so there is there's going to be a Petur of Adam and a Petur of Kalim. And when it comes to Aish, there's a Petur of Tamun. Okay, if you followed me, if you understood all that, great. Truth of the matter is that we're going to go over these points again and again. But the reason why there are four categories is because Hilcho Sehen, because there are exemptions that are specific to each one of the categories that are not shared by other categories. Okay. Adkan? Okay. That's a, that was hopefully, okay, 10 good minutes of just summarizing where we've been, and let's go. Hatzadah Sheva Shemem. So now as we are on the top of Vavam and Aleph, so we are going to go back to the Mishnah, and we're going to try to say Pshat in our Mishnah. In other words, common denominator. Tzadah Sheva Shemem. So when the Mishnah says, and the common denominator is, and oh, by the way, the Mishnah said, I'm just rereading the Mishnah, Dark and Lahazik. In other words, these are things that do damage, normally do damage. Shmir Asan Alecha, they're your responsibility. You should have been more careful. Ukishihizik, Chava Mazik, L'sham Tishlumi Nezik, B'meit Tavaretz. And when damage is done, so you got to pay. Not only do you have to pay, you have to pay top dollar. Now, I say top dollar. You know, later in today's daf, we're going to further clarify what does that mean you're paying top dollar. Stay tuned. So it's not a Shavah Shabbat. So the Gemara now is going to, like what it normally does, is that it picks on every word, every phrase of the Mishnah. And now we're looking at Tzadah Shavah, the common denominator. Well, what does that mean, common denominator? Meaning, we have the four categories. And if there's another Nezik that's done, what do? We figure out which category it belongs into. What does that mean, Tzadah Shavah Shabbat? You know, sometimes we're gonna have to take a couple of Avos and put them together. What is that talking about? So most of today's daf is going to be addressing this very question. Sometimes we're going to take, in other words, I set ourselves up. Sometimes we're going to have to take two avos and kind of mesh them together in order to result in a chiyuv. Okay? In other words, some nezek is going to be a little bit of a hybrid. All right, a combination of two avos. Okay? And if you're wondering what exactly is the case, you don't have to wonder. The Gemara is going to spell it out. Four cases in today's daf. Number one. So lasuye mai amar abai lasuye I have no second maso shini chabrosh gagov naflo baruch mitzuye viziko. So number one. So what did you do? You put a hazard on the roof, a stone, a knife, or any kind of weight. You put a hazard on the roof, and what happens? The wind picked up and the wind blew it, and not an exceptional wind, a normal wind. And then what happens is that it flies and does damage. Oh,
okay. While it's flying or after the lens.
The Gemara is going to ask your question. Okay. Hey, chidami. Iba de dekazda kamaske so ainu eish. So the Gemara says, well, if it does the damage while flying, so that's eish, meaning that's pretty clear that which category to put it in. It's not a hybrid. It's an eish. So maishna eish. So de kolach achem urabo umamon chashmir salacha. So aninami. Kolach achem urabo umamon chashmir salacha. So when it comes to eish, so again, we're looking at the characteristics of eish. So what happens with Aish? So Aish, you made a fire, and the fire traveled. How does the fire travel? So wind. The wind pushes the fire. So you made a hazard. The wind pushed the hazard, and it did damage in somebody else's property. You're chayev. So over here, you took a knife, you put it on a rooftop, and a regular wind, an expected wind, picks it up and launches it. And now it's a flying hazard. That's Aish. It's not a hybrid. So the Gemara says, Ela basa danaychi. So the Gemara says, okay.
If it's a rich shayim and certain, it would be exempt.
I like that. Okay. So the Gemara says, so good. So what happened now is that it did the damage after it fell. So you put the knife on the roof. A regular wind comes and pushes it. It falls to the ground. And then someone steps on the knife.
Four.
Okay. So the Gemara says, great. Basa danaychi. So Ida afkarino, bein l'rab, bein l'shmol, hayna bor. Okay, so if you were mafka the knife, so what are we looking at over here? We're looking at boar. Unequivocally, we're looking at boar. Rav and Shmuel would both agree that this would fall under the category of boar.
Does the owner need to have like that this happened?
Yeah, he was mafka. He was mafka.
No, but the thing is, if he didn't know that it became a boar, is he responsible for that?
Well, I mean, he put it on the rooftop and a regular wind blew it, so yes, he's responsible. So the Gemara says, "Amayshna bor shekain tchilas v'asil lenezek mamon choshmer salacha haninami tchilas v'asil lenezek umamon choshmer salacha." Right? The Gemara just basic. Right? I just made the Gemara's point, or the Gemara made my point. Whatever. And what happened? In other words, you took a knife and put it on the rooftop, and in other words, you should have known it's a regular wind that's gonna push it off. So in other words, you created the hazard just simply by putting it on the rooftop. It's no different than Aish. I'm sorry. Thank you. It's no different than boar. In other words, with boar, you're digging a hole in the Rishus HaRabim, you're creating a hazard. So Ella de Lafkarino, so the Gemara says, okay, so we're talking about a case where you were in Mafkirit. So you were in Mafkirit. So now, it's definitely no question that you're liable. That's not open for for interpretation and open for debate. In other words, you took a hazard and you put into the Rishus HaRabim, of course you're going to be liable. But if you retained ownership of it, the only question is, which category does it belong into? So Lishmuel Damar Kulam Ibor Lamanu Hanabor. So according to Shmuel, it still falls under the category of Bor. Now, missing in the Gemara, I don't know if it's missing, but clearly what the Gemara doesn't do over here, and what about Rav? In other words, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta that according to Rav, you take a hazard, you put in the Rishus HaRabim, you weren't mafkir it. So Rav says that's not Bor, but rather Shur. Okay, we'll talk about this debate later in the Masechta.
Wouldn't Rav consider it as Mavet?
No. Whatever. We'll it's a point that's going to come up later in the Masechta. Right now, for whatever reason, I have a suspicion, the Gemara right now is just focusing on Shita Shmuel. Probably because that's the halacha, but regardless. In other words, but the point is that you took a knife, you put it on the roof, it flew off, and now it's in the street, and it did the damage after it landed. So according to Shmuel, it's Bor. Whether you were mafker, whether you weren't mafker, it's still going to be Bor. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're looking now for damages that requires two avos in order to create it. In other words, we're looking for a hybrid damage. And right now, we haven't found it. So la'olam dafkarinu. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go back. You were mafkirit. Now, so you were mafkirit, so now what? So now, what did we say just moments earlier? That's bor. The Gemara says, no, it's not. Lo damo. So lo damo la bor, because it's not perfectly analogous. So ma la bor shekein kolachachem urabo. Tomer bahanit shekolachachem urabo. So the Gemara says, look, when it comes to bor, so what did you do? You did all the work. You dug the hole in the Rishus HaRabim. Somebody now falls into it. Not somebody. Okay. But in other words, an animal falls into it. So you have to pay for the damages. Okay. So there, you created it all on your own. No other force helped you in creating the damage. Masha Enkin, when you took the knife and you put it on the roof, and then the wind picked it up and the wind pushed it into the street, and now it landed. So now, is that bor? It's not perfectly analogous. Because it was koach acher mu'uravo. Okay, so now, eish tochiach. So what are we going to need over here? We're going to need a little bit of eish. Because eish, koach acher mu'uravo. Eish tochiach mal eish akein darko la'ilech la'azik. So the Gemara says, okay, but it's not analogous to eish. That's for sure true. Why? Because by when it comes to eish, so the eish is it moves. It's a moving hazard. So bor tochiach, v'chazer hadin. So what we're going to have to do now is that basically, in order to create liability over here, we're going to need a hybrid approach.
Yeah, but so, it also depends on what it grabs onto something that makes it move. Even if there's no koyach achibur. If you make a fire just so that something feeds the fire, but it stays in the same place, there's something else. There's a difference.
Okay, if it grabs onto something, it's not I understand the Gemara's Lashon is darko leilech. That's the Gemara's Lashon.
Oh, that's what's, okay.
Darko leilech lahazik. It moves. No, to create the boar. In other words, the creation of the boar, the nezek itself obviously requires a.
Why can't we say that it's analogous to the.
Correct. But the creation of the boar did not require any assist. The creation of the knife in the street, that created an assist. Okay, what comes out over here is the following. Now we have our first example. This is the first of four examples where we are going to have a hybrid. In other words, in order to create a chiyuv nezek over here, we're going to need eish and we're going to need bor. Good. And now, because of the combination of the two, so now we have now a chiyuv. Okay. You can imagine it's a simple question. It's such a lumdish question, and the Rishonim already discussed it. And that is that now in these hybrids, so now how is this nezek going to behave? In other words, let's say it like this. What do we know by bor? Bor has a specific peturim. What do we know about eish? Eish also has specific peturim. So now, when I have this particular nezek, the flying knife, right, that lands in a Rishus HaRabim, and so now, how do I know that you're going to be chayev? Well, you're going to take eish and bor and put it together. Now, so now, when I'm looking at this nezek, is it going to have the identity of eish? Is it going to have the identity of bor? Or maybe it'll have both. Maybe it'll have both identities. The Rishonim discusses, the Rush discusses this, the Rush brings down Machlokas on this issue.
Why can't you say that while it was moving, it was eish, but once it became stationary, it's a bor? So it's not both. It had a status while traveling like an eish.
While traveling,
now,
the Gemara
now
says
it's set on the ground, now it's a bor.
Yeah, but the problem is that then. Again, I was just to reiterate, the Gemara said it's not perfectly analogous. Because when it comes to the boar, so how did the boar get there? All by your force. How did the knife get there? A combination. Your force and the wind. It's not perfectly analogous. That's what the Gemara said. Okay. Rava Amar La Asuye Bor Mizgalga Bragle Adam Bragle Behema. Okay, here we go. Case number two. Our second hybrid Nezik of the day. So, and by the way, maybe, I don't know this, I'm just guessing, but Rava Abaye are arguing? Maybe not. Maybe each one of them is just providing their example of what would be a hybrid Nezik. But I could be wrong. Rava Amar La Asuye Bor Mizgalga Bragle Adam Bragle Behema. So over here, according to Rava, Boram is Gaga, and a rolling pit. You say rolling pit, right? What happened in the daf today? We talked about rolling pits. Really. The pit just moved. Sure. Now it's going to be a little bit difficult for a pit to move. It's, you know, pretty stationary. So what are we talking about rolling pits? So you take a look at Rashi over here. I'm going to read the Rashi inside. Boram is Gaga. Kigon, Rashi writes. So you took a stone and you put it in the Rishos Rabim. Now where you left it, well, obviously you shouldn't have left it there, but where you left it, it didn't do any damage. And Gilgalua, Ragle Adam of Ahimla Makamacher. And then it gets kicked around. People are walking through the street. So that stone got kicked around. Viziko Sham. And now in its new location it did damage. Ah, okay, good. So the stone that you put in the street did damage. However, the critical factor over here, the consideration, is that it didn't do damage exactly where you left it. Now, how do we analyze this? Hechidami. So the Gemara goes over exactly these points. So, Bein L'Rav, Bein L'Shmuel, Hainabor. So if you were mafkirit, so now it's bor, according to everybody, Rav and Shmuel. So you made a hazard in the Rishus Rabim by Bor your Chayv. Here you're going to be Chayv as well. In other words, the Gemara says basically it should be Bor, period, not a hybrid. So Ella de Lafkarino, so the Gemara says, okay, you are in Mafkarit. So Shmuel Damar Kulami Bor Lamanu Haina Bor. Now, according to Shmuel, so even if you were in Mafkarit, Shmuel says it's still a Bor. And again, the Gemara did the same thing as well. In other words, there is a sheet of Rav, which the Gemara doesn't really speak out. But again, my suspicions in terms of why not. So the Gemara says, "Lo lam dafkarina really you are mafkarit, and lo dam labor." And although moments earlier we said, you know, it's bor, the Gemara now understands, and not exactly. It's not exactly bor. So malabor shekem masav garmalo, tomer bani shekem masav garmalo. So the Gemara says, well, you know, when it comes to bor, masav garmalo. Again. The idea is that by bor, so you created the entire damage. That's it. That pit over there, that's you. Over here, now it's granted you put the stone in the street. You took the hazard and you put it in the street, right? But in other words, but did you put it in its new location? No, it got kicked around. So it's not exactly analogous. So sure, Yechiach. So the Gemara says, okay, but sure, you know, when the shore's in the street, you know, it's moving around. So malo shor shekein darko leilech lahazik. So the Gemara says, yeah, but shore is a moving hazard. It moves on its own. So bor tochiach. The Gemara says, okay, but I have bor. So v'chazer adin lo rizeh karizeh. And the Gemara says, good. So what do I have now? Our second example of a hybrid nezik. Hybrid nezik where I'm going to have to take shore and bor, put them together in order to get to a bor hamizgagel, the rolling pit. So again, it's not, according to Rashi, it's not a pit, but it's, in other words, it behaves like a pit, mostly behaves like a pit. But on the other hand, because it moves, so therefore the bor by itself is not going to be mechayev. So I'm going to take bor, I'm going to take shor, I'm going to put it together, and I got a hybrid nezik. That is example number two. Example number three. Ravada Brava Amar Lasuye Haditanya Kol Eilu Shamru Poskim Bivaseim V'Gorfim Maruseim Biyamos Chamin Lam Rishus Biyamos Chamin Yish Lam Rishus V'Alfa Pishe Rishus Imiziko Chayev L'Shalim. Okay. Floridians are going to really appreciate this. And this is now association rules. Association laws. Okay. So sorry for anyone outside of Florida. You're not going to appreciate how funny that was. Anyway, so the homeowners association basically says like this. Now, again, now, right, leave Florida out of this. And so basically, in terms of dumping your sewage into the street. I know it sounds funny, but it's allowed, but only certain times of the year. Only during the winter, not the summer. Rashi writes over here, why? What's the difference? So in the summer, so the streets are beautiful. In other words, there's no rain, and the streets are nice. And what are you going to do? You're going to take your sewage, and now you're going to put it in the street? In other words, you're ruining it. But in the winter, everything's muddy. So everything's muddy, so you adding your sewage into the street, not a big deal. Okay. Okay. Good. Good. So the that's the HOA rules. But now we get to Baba Kama. Now in Baba Kama, so now what you do, you took your water and you poured it right into the street. And even though it's the winter and you have total permission to do so, but that doesn't exempt you from liability. So if any damages occur, so you're going to be liable. So you have permission to do so, but also with the understanding that you're still liable. Okay, good. So now the Gemara says, in order to arrive at this nezik, it's a hybrid. The Gemara analyzes, hey chidami, he bad de kazi maske kochohu. So the Gemara says, well, how did the damage occur? So if, let's say, you threw the water out, and that water that you threw out landed on somebody, doing damage to somebody, that's kocho. That's the force of you. Do you know what the force of you is called? It's called you, right? That's you doing damage. And we're going to be discussing this in much greater detail later in the Masechta as well. But in other words, kocho is you. Okay, so that's Adam. So Ela Basa Danaich, so the Gemara says, okay, so what happened was is that the damage was occurred after it fell on the ground.
That's Mab according to
Rav. Okay, good, good. Yeah. So Hei Chidami, Ben L'Rav, Ben L'Shmuel, Hein Abor. So the Gemara says, well, you mafkir the water? Well, if that's true, then it's bor, according to everybody. So in Maishna, So it's your responsibility, and you have to pay for the damages. So the Gemara says, okay, you earned mafkir it. Okay, third time this morning. We know what the Gemara is going to say. So according to Shmuel, that's also bor. So the olam dafkarinu, so the Gemara says, you're a mafkirit. Really, you're a mafkirit. And lo dami labor. And although moments earlier we said it's bor, the Gemara now walks it back a little bit. Well, it's not exactly bor. So ma labor shekein shalab irishus. Tomer bahani de birishus. The Gemara says, well, when it comes to bor, did you have any permission whatsoever to dig a hole in the street? The answer, of course, is unequivocally no. In other words, you never had permission to do so. In the wintertime, did you have permission to take your sewage and put it into the street? Yes, you did. So it's not perfectly analogous. So shur yochiach. So the Gemara says is now we're on the top of the Amud Beis. So now what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to take a combo. It's going to be a hybrid. So we're going to go to shur. Because shur, do you have allowance and permission to have your animal walking in the street? 100% it's allowed. That's what the street is for. So the Gemara says, Mala shur shekein darko leilech lahazik. Also, we're going to compare the sewage water to the shore. Wait 1 second. The shore, dark olelech. It walks, it moves. That water is stationary. It's not the same. So the Gemara says, Por dochech v'chazar adin. So now what are we going to do? We're going to take the combination. It's a shore bore or bore shore. I'll let you decide. But in other words, it's a hybrid nezik. We're going to take shor. We're going to take bor. We're going to take the common characteristics of the two. We'll put them together, and the deposited sewage now that's in the street. Someone slips on it. Someone falls. Damage is done as a result of it. So now you're going to be liable. Why are you going to be liable? Because of the combination of the two. That was number three, and finally number four. Ravina Amar Lasu Yehadanan. So let's say you had a wall, a tree, and it was proximate to the street, and it fell, and it was unexpected. In other words, you thought it was secure. Maybe it was. However, it happened. It fell. It fell into
on domain initially.
Initially, it was near property. Correct. And then it goes into the street. So now, patam l'shalom, you're going to be pater. And why? So let's file this under the category of onus. Okay. In other words, something that was totally unexpected, and okay, you're pater. However, but then, my second HOA joke of the day, so then the HOA comes over to you and says, okay, look, in other words, look, your tree fell into the street, Got it. Right, right, malas warta. Right? That was for you. So the, okay, good. But the, but now.
That was actually from
Vinicius. So the, but now, so the HOA says, great, okay, look, it's unfortunate, but now we're going to give you, we're going to put you on the clock. That tree, that debris has to be cleared by 30 days. We're going to give you 30 days to clear it. Okay. So now the halacha is very clear. And that is that within those 30 days, it's still considered ones and you're putter. However, after 30 days are gone and you were supposed to clear it and you didn't clear it. So now you're going to be liable for any damage that it does. And the Gemara says now that nezik that you're going to be chayav for, file that under. Okay. Yeah. Everyone here is going to know what's going to happen because this is our fourth round of doing this today. So the Gemara says so chayav hechidami. Ida afkarei ben l'rabbi n'shmol hainabor. Maishna bor dezek amatzu shmer son lecha haninami dezek amatzu shmer son lecha. So the Gemara says, so it's bor, right? So the Gemara says, if you're a mafkarit, for sure it's bor. And ida lo afkarin, and if you weren't mafkarit, l'shmol damar kulami baru lamanu hainabor. Now according to Shmuel, it's still a bor. Viter, it's a bor. So l'olam dafkarin, so the Gemara says, really you're a mafkarit. So velo dam labor, but the Gemara says, but it's not comparable to a bor. Malabor shekain tchilasu asil nezek tamar bahani shekain tchilasu asil nezek. Gemara says it's not a fair comparison because bor, when you dig in the street, tchilasu lenezek, meaning it's a damage, it's a hazard the moment you made it. Over here, the tree fell into the street, meaning you didn't create the damage; that was totally beyond your control. Now you were given a time frame in which you have to clean the debris up. Okay, afterwards you're going to be chayev. But it's not tchilaso lenezek. So it's not comparable. So the Gemara says, okay, so what are we going to have to do? We all know what we're going to have to do. Introduce our second category. Shur yochiach. So the Gemara says, oh, what about shur? In other words, it's not tchilaso lenezek. So the Gemara says, great. Mal shur shekein darko leilech lahazik. But you know the shur moves. Your debris is not moving. So the Gemara says, bor tochiach v'chazar adin. And so once again, now for our fourth time this morning, so we have a hybrid. So we have a hybrid nezik, and this is going to be a shur bor shur, where now you're going to be chayv because this is now a hybrid of shur and bor.
Yeah, the obligation to clean up is not because it's an item that comes from your domain, because it's your property that's sitting there, it's hazardous.
Right. Well, again, it depends if you're a mafkir or if you were a mafkir.
What's the fundamental difference between your property and your domain?
This very thing belongs to your property. If something, a foreign thing came into your domain and then can destroy the value that it just happened.
Once it's in your domain, it's
technically not yours, it belongs to your domain. Came you from somewhere else to your domain? What if somebody threw a tree?
All right, let's. Okay, let's go. Kishi Hizik Chava Mazik. Okay. Now, and when damage is done, we're back in the Mishnah. We're just simply touching up the Mishnah. So, Kishi Hizik Chava Mazik. So when damage is done, chava mazik, so you're going to be obligated. And chava mazik me baile. And the Gemara picks up on the lashon of the Mishnah. It's a little funny. Chava mazik. In other words, now there are occasions where the word chav is being used. Okay? I wish I could, you know, with encyclopedic knowledge, which I don't have. I wish I could tell you. But the word chav is used. But, it's in other words, we're learning Nezikin. And not only we're learning Nezikin, it's the first Mishnah in Baba Kama. And the more proper language would be chayev, not chav. So the Gemara says, interesting comment to the Gemara. So chav amazik, chayev amazik mi baile. So Amrav Yudam Rav Haitani Yushami did not lishna kalila. So the Gemara says, you know what found its way into our Mishnah? Yushami dialect. The author of the Mishnah. Now again, it's a little funny because the author of the Mishnah, the editor of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yudah Nasi, but Rabbi Yudah Nasi collected. In other words, collected Tanaim, collected an assortment of Tanaim to put together. But the Gemara points out that whoever the original author of our Mishnah is, had a Yushami twang to him. And so therefore they use Lishna Kalila. Okay? Literally translated, it doesn't work literally, but like a lighter language, whatever. It's a different dialect.
No, they purposely abbreviated. That's the term they used in Shami.
Abbreviated terminology. Very, very good. Okay, very good.
Okay, so that's what's
Kalila.
It's a little...
Is it good? So, l'shalom teshul minezek. So now you're going to be paying teshul minezek tana rabbanan. So metav sadeh, metav karma, yishalei, metav sadeh, shalei nizek, metav karma, shalei nizek, divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, so now we get on to metav sadeh and the idea of itis. Okay. Let's try to be clear right from the beginning. When you damage, you have to pay. Make full compensation for the damages. That part's easy. I think we got all that. You're going to be paying with what? So let's say you decide to pay with money. Right? Money's good. So you pay with money. So in other words, an appraisal of what the damages were. And now you have to make full compensation with currency. Good. Back in the good old days, so they had a very agricultural society. So instead of money, let's say you pay with property. So you're paying with property. Now what? So the Torah says that if you're going to be paying with property, metav sadehu. Every property is going to get graded. The grading is A, B, and C. A is called itis, B is called beninus, and the C property is zibaris. But if you've been with me long enough, you'll know. Just I go A, B, C. It's nice and easy. So now with the if you elect to pay with property, it's got to be with A property, prime A property. Okay. Now again, let's try to be clear. In other words, from a standpoint of value, there's no difference. Meaning the A property obviously is going to get a better price. So you're going to, if you're paying with property, obviously you're going to be paying with less property. But because it's A property, so it's obviously more preferable. It's easier to sell. So in other words, so if you're paying with property, it's got to be with A property. Okay, we did all this back in Gittin. In fact, the discussion we're going to have right now, mamish chazar of what we did back in Gittin. Okay, so the halacha is that if you're going to be paying with property, it's got to be with A property. Now, who's A property? So, and it seems over here, and I made this comment back in Gittin, and we get to say it over here again in Baba Kama, it seems to be that the grading of properties is done on a curve. Okay, in other words, not necessarily objective A, B, and C property, but really subjective to whatever you own. That's what, it certainly seems to be the pshat, both here and the Gemara in Gittin. So now, that when we're talking about who's A property, so according to Rabbi Shmuel, so metav sadeh shel nizak, metav karmo shel nizak. So that is going to be the damaged person, the person who suffered the damage. So in other words, we're going to be basing it on what his best is. That's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva amar lo ba'kasav ela legavas l'nizak min ha'idis v'kavacham lehekdesh. Rabbi Kiva says no. As far as collection is concerned, collection is going to be coming from the idis of the mazik, not the nizak. Kavachom alahekdesh. Those last words, kavachom alahekdesh, we're going to do that tomorrow. But meanwhile, Rabbi Yishmael, achol shmeina mishalim, shmeina achol chusha, so mishalim shmeina. So the Gemara says, okay, so as far as Rabbi Yishmael is concerned, so it's a little bit funny. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yishmael, metav karmo shel nizak, right? Metav sadeo shel nizak. So at this point in time, the Gemara's understanding is, so that we're always going to do is we're always going to assess the best of the nizak. And the Gemara says, I don't understand that. We're always going to assess the best of the nizak. What if you didn't damage the best of the nizak? So, and that's the Gemara's question. Rabbi Shmuel, achol shmeina mishalim shmeina. Achol chusha mishalim shmeina. You're always going to be paying the best. What if the damage is not to his best property? What if the damage happened to have occurred to his inferior property? So I'm Ravidi Baravan Achim and Maiskin and Kagon Shachal Aruga Ben Arugos, Velo Yadin and Ikhusha Achal Ishmena Achal, the Mishalim Shmena. So the Gemara tries out the following. Well, maybe we're talking about a case where your animal went into his property, ate a row of produce. Now he had good quality and inferior quality. You don't know which row he ate. In other words, they were kind of scattered, they were mixed in one with the other. And so your animal ate a row. We don't know which one it is. You have to pay Shmena. Because we don't know. To which the Gemara's response is, wait 1 second, I'm a Rava. You're violating one of the most basic rules. And that is, So you're violating one of the most basic rules. And that is that we have a suffek, and I owe you money, and I'm not sure how much money I owe you, Shmena versus Chusha. And maybe Shmena, maybe it's Chusha. And now you're extracting money from me. Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. Okay? We're going to, and Baba Kama, and Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, we're going to go over this idea again and again. You're going to extract money from me. Proof, burden of proof is on you, not on me. So look, my animal did damage in your property. That I got. Which row was it? The better quality, the inferior quality? We don't know. You're not going to take. You're not going to take from me money or property against the better quality. If we don't know, we're going to have to assume it's a lower value. I'm motzi mechaver al averaya. So the Gemara says, "Alam Rav Acher by Yaakov Hachem by my skin kagon shayisaidus denizak ki ziboris demazik." So the Gemara says like this. I'll tell you where the machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is going to really present itself, and that is that we have a damager, the mazik, and we have the damagee, the nizak. And as far as the properties are concerned, the edus of the nizak, the best of the nizak, is the boris de mazik. Is, you know, the mazik is, let's just say, in a better financial situation, he's got, his properties are just better. So if the mazik would have just paid with the ziboris, that would have been equivalent to the best of the nizak. Uvahapligi. And now, here's the debate between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Shmuel Savar Rabbi Denizak Shaminan. So now that I the mazik, I the damager, if I would have just given my worst, it would have been his best. Rabbi Shmuel will tell you, Bidinizak Shaminan. Good. We're gonna assess it based on the nizak. Meaning, from his perspective, that's the best land. Therefore, you've satisfied your obligation of paying the best land. And Rabbi Kiva says, Rabbi Demazik Shaminan. And Rabbi Kiva says, no. Rabbi Kiva says, as far as the Torah is concerned, when the Torah says you have to pay with your best land, the Torah meant you have to pay with your best land. You could have given Ziboris, and from his perspective, that would have been the best? No. The Torah, according to Rabbi Kiva, that's not what the Torah wants. Torah wants it from your perspective, not the Nizak's perspective. My time with Rabbi Shmuel, now the Gemara wants to know, how this machlokus is being generated how? What are they debating? So they're debating about psukim. So Nemar Sadalamata. So it says, Metav Sadeu Yishalem. And Nemar Sadalamala. Earlier, in the pasuk it says, Ubir Bistei Acher. So Ma Sadam or Lamala, Denizak, Afa Sadam or Lamata, Denizak. Contextually, the word Sadeh, certainly Stei Acher, that's his property, that's the Nizak's property. So now when it says, Metav Sadeu Yishalem, that's also going to be from the perspective of the Nizak. That's Rabbi Shmuel. It's very good. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, he will tell you, Meitav Sadeo, Meitav Kamo Yishalem, Da'ach Te'kam Yishalem. Rabbi Kiva will say, look, let's make this nice and simple. Who's paying? The mazik is paying. So it makes much more sense to say, when the mazik is paying, Meitav Sadehu Yishalem, so his over here means the payer, which is the mazik. Okay. Rabbi Shmuel, Ani Gzereshav Avani Kra. And what Rabbi Shmuel will tell you is that, look, right, Rabbi Kiva made an outstanding point. It's such a good point. It's such a simple point. It's really outstanding. So what Rabbi Shmuel will tell you is that I'm going to agree with you, but I'm also going to argue with you. How does that work? Watch. So Ahani Gzereshav Kedekamina. Now, as far as Gzereshav is concerned, so let's go to what I said. In other words, it says Sadeo Lamala. It says the Sadeo Lamata. One place clearly was talking about the Nizak. Here, too, is talking about the Nizak. Okay? And again, when the ziboris of the mazik is equivalent to the edus of the nizak, so according to Rabbi Shmuel, you're just going to pay your ziboris because from his perspective, it's the best. Good. So on the other hand, I'm also going to, that's where I'm going to argue with Rabbi Shmuel. Sorry. That's where I'm going to argue with Rabbi Akiva. But here's where I'm going to give in to Rabbi Akiva. And that is the honey crock. Kagon, diyisrei lamazik, edus viziboris. The mazik's got A and C. And the edus lenizak, now from the nizak's perspective, so he has the best. Where is his best now? Between the mazik's A and C. And I know this is complicated, I know. But in other words, if you slow it down, you think it through, all right, obviously I saw this once or twice. So if you slow it down, you'll get to see it really clearly. So from the mazik's property, his best property lies in between the A and C of the mazik's property. And so now, Zibor Zamazik Lo Shaviki Dis Denizak. So, Demeshal Le Mimetav Didei, Delamazi Amarle, Ta'agabi Miziboris, Alagabi Mimetav. And so now, it's a question of either bumping up or bumping down. In other words, if we had the Mazik Ziboris being equivalent to the Idis of the Nizak, so that's great. There's no bumping. Over here, I'll just give him my Ziboris. And from his perspective, it's then fine. But now, where I have A and C, and his A now exists between my A and C, Does he get bumped up or bumped down? There, we're going to bump the mazik up. Why? Because there's a simple pshat in the pasuk. Meitav sadehu yishalayim. Now you're going to have to pay your best. Okay, good. Adkan. Good. We're going to stop over here. We're going to pause over here. The Kal Vachomer to Hekdesh. We'll start that tomorrow. Okay. Very straightforward. Not simple, but very straightforward daf today. And that is after having familiarized ourselves with Avos Nezikin. The beginning of Shir today, I gave a 10-minute synopsis of Baba Kama up until now. Okay, go back, enjoy. Hopefully, it's helpful. So the after familiarizing yourself with the Dalet Avos Nezikin, so then what we did in today's daf, very interesting daf today, and that is that sometimes the nezik is going to be a hybrid. In other words, it doesn't perfectly fit into one of the four categories, and we're going to need a combination of two categories in order to arrive at a chiyuv nezik. So we did four different examples today. One of them was a rolling pit, right? In Baba Kama Davav, the rolling pit is the Bor Misgagel, by far and away the most popular part of today's daf. But truth be told, there are four different examples that require a ko'av in order to arrive at its nezek. That was number one. And that took us through most of today's daf. Number two, Kishu Chava Mazik, the Lashon of Chav, Lashon Kalila, it's a Yerushalmi dialect. Okay, and then finally, when you're paying with property, so you got to pay with idis, you got to pay with the best. Whose best? Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva have a machlokus, but the Gemara concedes that the machlokus is not as dramatic as originally presented. Right? It sounds like that basically you can always pay. You have to pay with the idis of the nizak. The Gemara says no. You have to pay with the idis of the mazik. Where is there going to be a point of differentiation between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel? Where our property qualities don't align. They're off tilt, right? My worst is your best. I damage you, my worst is your best. So can I get away with paying my worst? So Rabbi Yishmael will tell you yes, Rabbi Akiva will tell you no, and then the Gemara conceded that Rabbi Yishmael will give into the following, where your best is in between my A and C. So now when I pay, do I have to bump up or bump down? Rabbi Yishmael says there, I'll agree with Rabbi Akiva, you bump up.